We are KLAV, 1230 AM.
You're listening to KLAV, Las Vegas.
Views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of the staff or management of KLAV.
This is Gambling with an Edge with Bob Dancer and Frank Nealon. Frank is the author of The Secret World of Video Poker Progressives, available at his website, ProgressiveVP.com, and is a former manager of the largest Las Vegas progressive slot team and has over 20 years of gambling experience. Bob Dancer is the best-known video poker player and writer in the country today, with more books than we can mention. Bob's won more than $1 million during a six-month period and has taught video poker at several casinos. To check out Bob's products, visit BobDancer.com. So if you're a Vegas local or are planning a trip here, this is one show you don't want to miss, because we'll be teaching you how to gamble with an edge. Now, here's Bob and Frank.
And hello, folks. Welcome to our July 7th show. How are you doing this week, Bob?
I'm doing well. Good.
It's kind of weird not seeing you at Square Dance this week.
Frank and I do go to a advanced square dance class on Mondays, and it was 4th of July, and so there was class was canceled. So
I was actually busy playing my brains out at the M.
Yes, I heard your fingers were moving that day.
I got out more than a royal cycle in one day, and I'm not happy about it.
Sounds like you left the royal there.
I didn't hit one, but I don't care about that sort of thing. I just care about putting out the hands. But it was 7 royals over $4,000 in one day.
That was a pretty amazing day.
Like a perfect storm of high royals. I had a really interesting results to a little post I did on VP Free, and I had no idea it would go, you know, where it went. I really didn't have a good clear idea in my mind of what people meant when they said to me, well, I'm a short-term player. I've never thought about it. You know, I've just always considered myself to be a video poker player. I don't give any thought to how many hands or, you know, it's like a life choice.
Yeah, so I always in the long term.
I don't even think of it that way.
Okay.
It's just video poker to me.
Okay.
Anyway, so I posted with absolutely no expectation. And, you know, that's the greatest thing about having no expectation is you can never be disappointed. Well, we got like 20, 30 posts, plus I got multiple private emails. And basically the consensus was that there was
no consensus.
Yes. You took the words right out of my mouth. My favorite, actually, was these two particular contrasting, you know, emails. One from a couple that visits town and maybe stays here a week at a time, right?
Uh-huh.
And they consider themselves to be short-term players.
Okay.
And they get out about 300,000 hands a year. One of the other emails was from a couple that lives here locally, plays a little bit before and after dinner pretty frequently. They consider themselves to be long-term players. They've lived in town for 27 years. And they get out about
300,000.
Again, you take the words out of my mouth.
So we have one 300,000 hand a year player who says think they're short term, and one who thinks they're long term.
And they play exactly the same number of hands in a year.
Uh-huh. And what did you conclude by that?
I concluded that I still don't know what the difference between short term and long term play is.
Well, the difference is, the conclusion is, when I say long term, obviously, I mean something different about it than what other people mean. Or when you say short term, it obviously means. So if we use these terms, however, the other person, we have no certainty how the other person is hearing them.
Exactly. You know where I ran into this? I'll be brief. When I was married 10 years ago, I told there was an issue that I really needed my wife to give her word on.
Uh-huh.
And I had her give her word.
Yes.
6 months went by, and she broke it.
Okay.
And I said to her, you're breaking your word? And she said, well, I've changed my mind. And she said it very matter-of-factly, like she'd done nothing wrong. Well, I dug a little bit, and it turns out to her that giving your word means doing something so long as you want to do that thing with the, you know, understanding that if things change for you, you can just bail out on the agreement at some point in the future.
Well, like a marriage, you know, I'll be married to you forever and ever unless I change my mind. That's what giving your word meant to her.
Apparently. But to me, giving my word, you know, a promise is one thing, an agreement is another. Giving your word means you're going to do what you just said you're going to do, regardless of what changes in your life or whether your opinions or feelings on the subject alter. Giving your word means this is how it's going to be, regardless of what happens.
And clearly not everyone agrees with that definition.
But until I had this happen in my life, I didn't realize that. Huh? What it meant to me wasn't what it meant to her. And it's not even that she lied about it. We were using the same words and the same phrase, but what was being said was not what was being understood. So it's the same kind of thing that happens in regular life. Now that I'm aware of these contrasts in you know, understanding, I think I would like to make a list of popular, you know, words that are used in gambling, lucky, luck, edge, things like that, and try to lock down some definitions on them.
I give you my word that that's not going to be a fruitful topic for you to pursue, but knock yourself out.
And by giving your word, what do you mean exactly?
Something happened. I heard three reports about something happened to you this week.
And, oh, God.
And then you sent me an email later and gave approximately the same story. But apparently you were playing at the M, and you started and you put it $200 or $300 bills into a machine, and you look down, mm-hmm. and instead of having $300 in the machine, it says $2,400 or some such number.
Yes, that's correct.
So what happened?
Well, someone had left money in the machine.
Uh-huh. So what thoughts go to your mind, through your mind?
Well, how do I get it back to the proper owner was what went through my mind. I figured they would probably come back looking for it.
Uh-huh.
So I cashed it out, popped it in my pocket, and dutifully waited. And about 20 minutes, they returned. And I think they got about three words out. And I said, relax, relax, just calm down. Here it is, you know, and handed it to them. And they were very pleased.
Oh, good. Well, first of all, I would have expected nothing different from you. If I had actually heard that you walked away with a ticket, that would have floored me beyond belief. So that was not...
Well, thank you.
That was not an option. But it occurs to me that among gamblers, like at this particular casino, you're the guy who plays with two hands, and each of the hands is played faster than anybody else is playing on one machine,
mm-hmm.
and you're talking a mile a minute. So, I mean, this particular model of somebody doing this is well... yeah, that's Frank. So it's like everybody there knows you. And
uh-huh.
so there are other people there who play regularly, and everybody knows... I'm not going to mention other names, but they know them. And so having somebody like that steal or take money or something would have been extremely unusual, having if an out-of-towner were there that nobody knew and they just took a shot and did it. That's possible. Things happen in Vegas. But gamblers themselves are fairly honorable people.
I found that to be true. And that is pretty much contradictory to what I think some casinos think of folks in our business who 86 us and treat us like we were... you know, common criminals.
Yeah, well, I think we're uncommon criminals. I do.
Keeping the money never crossed my mind. My only concern was you know, how do I get this back to the person?
To the correct person, right.
Yeah.
Good, and I agree. And back, my autobiography, Million Dollar Video Poker, in my early days of playing in Vegas, where I was a unknown person, I took some shots, and I actually surprised people by reporting some of the things I did, which... today I would not consider doing things that unethical, but I did back then. Back I was in survival mode, and condemning other people who do these things is not something I can do with a clear conscience.
Oh.
I do, but today it's just a question of how do you get it back. We're going to take a phone call. Greg Brown is our friend from videopoker.com. Videopoker.com are the people who sponsor my software, Video Poker for Winners. They put a picture of my face on there along with two cocktail waitresses with a glass of I guess it's a martini glass. I'm not sure. I'm not a drinker, so I don't know what's in my head. And everybody asked about the girls, and I was saying, well, Shirley was there during the shoot, so everything is fine. But anyway, Greg Brown's here from videopoker.com.
It suffice to say that the only thing realistic in the picture is your hair.
My hair, I guess. Greg, welcome to Gambling with an Itch.
Thanks, Bob. By the way, it was there was water in there, no vodka. It was a fake martini.
Okay, good.
And he didn't ever know that, huh?
Good. And well, I didn't.
I would have discovered it very quickly in the photo shoot.
No, I did not discover, and I did not ask the cocktail waitresses if anything on them was fake either. All right, so what's new on videopoker.com?
Oh well, I'm excited to announce that we're going to start having daily contests. So every day, people will be able to come to the site and play for $50, and more importantly, an entry into our annual contest, which we're just announcing, called Tournament of Champions. And that contest will be the last week of the year, and it'll be limited just to the people that have qualified between now and then, and it'll be a nice prize, like a dream vacation to Vegas. $1,000 in cash, 5 nights at the Signature, so really nice prize. So
Frank lives in Vegas.
Is there any chance of getting a dream vacation out of Las Vegas?
Yes, I'll make that right now for you only, Frank. We'll send you wherever you want to go.
Oh, good. How do we help Frank win? We want to get him out of Vegas.
Well, okay. I don't know. If he plays enough on the site and goes practices enough, he'll have a good chance, right?
So when you say $50, is this a $50 entry fee or a $50 prize?
Oh, no, it's a prize. It's just each day we have the winner's going to get a $50 gift card and a one-month free membership to our gold subscription level. So give something for people to play for every single day versus, normally we have our contest once a month, but we'll have a contest every day. We'll rotate through 7 of the most favorite games and then kind of start the next week over.
So when you say rotate through the games, does this mean like on one day you'll play Ultimate X and one day you'll play Quick Quads and one day you'll play Wheel Poker? Is that what you mean or
yep,
what?
Exactly.
All right.
So, yep. Then you don't get tired of one game, which can happen.
You get tired of 7 games. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, right.
Okay, and so it's your
variety is the spice of life, Bob. I'll explain it to you later.
Good. Now, so it is, you play all day long, and it's the top score at the end of the day, or how does this work?
So you'll get up to 5 sessions, 100-hand sessions.
Uh-huh.
So that, it'll be a little different than some of our contests where we had unlimited sessions and the guys uh-huh. that, people could just sit there all day and play. So a little more of an advantage for the people just go in there and play 5 sessions.
And these are what, 5-minute sessions, 10-minute sessions?
100 hands probably takes about 6 to 10 minutes.
Okay.
Guys like you could probably do it in about 3.
Uh-huh, good. All right, so you play these sessions, and you can play up to 5 of them, and it's all free?
Yep, all free. No consideration. All free stuff, and gives you a chance to play your favorite game, hopefully, if it's one of those 7, and then see how you do.
Would I be able to log into 2 computers simultaneously so I can play 2 machines?
2 different accounts, yeah. Go for it.
Oh, darn.
Oh, well, good. And so maybe for second prize, we can have a date with Frank Nealon. How's that?
Yep, can throw that in, yeah.
You know,
and third prize
and the loser
is 2
wins
dates.
2 dates, yes. I knew where you were going with that. I wasn't going to let you get in there first.
All right. So what else is happening at videopoker.com, Greg?
That's about it. I mean, we continue to... when new games come out, add them to the site. Deal Draw is a new game that is probably the most recent. I don't even know if anybody really knows about it because it's not in distribution yet. But it's a fun game to go in and try. Extra Action was the one before that, which a lot of people like. I think I talked about that last month. But
uh-huh.
that's becoming really popular. It's not in too many casinos either, but starting to get distribution.
Good. All
yep.
right. So, very good. And then we're going to talk to you again soon and
yep.
And let us know how many dates Frank O's or
oh. I will next month. That I'm sure that'll be about 30 because I'm sure every person's going to want one.
Oh yeah, well clearly you don't know me very well.
Oh dear.
I get Playmates numbers and somehow manage to mess it up before date time, you know. So it's
perfect.
Oh dear.
It's really nice talking to you. So daily contests, and you're going to have them every day. What a novel idea! I love it.
All right.
Every day.
All righty. Thanks a lot, Greg.
Hey, talk to you later.
All right. Great having you on, as always.
All right. We have another guest on the line.
Already?
His name is Blair Rodman. And I met Blair in the mid-1990s. And it's actually all Anthony Curtis's fault. At a party sponsored by the Las Vegas Advisor, LVA, I was invited because I contributed to the newsletter and later had some of my books published by them. And then Blair was invited because he was a friend of Anthony's. So there were enough of these parties over time that Blair and I eventually decided we might as well learn to like each other just because we're going to see each other all the time. Now, Blair has been playing at the World Series of Poker for almost 30 years. He has numerous caches and one first place bracelet, which came 4 years ago in a $2,000 no limit hold'em buy-in tournament with more than 2,000 entrants. Blair's known as an old-time gambler, meaning playing by feel, as opposed to some of the ones who make everything mathematically perfect. It obviously is you're able to succeed either way if you're good enough at it. Some of our listeners might remember Stanford Wong a few weeks ago on his interview about tournament strategy. Blair Rodman was one of the young guys back in the early 80s who, along with Anthony Curtis, helped Stanford come up with the strategies that went into that book. So he's been around for a while. And Blair Rodman, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thanks, Bob. How are you?
I'm well.
Hi, Mr. Rodman.
Hi.
Now, your book has a picture of Phil Hellmuth on the cover, and the clear instruction, it says, kill Phil. It's now been 5 years since the book was first published, and Phil is still alive. He actually came in second place in a tournament just almost yesterday and probably disappointed about it. So on the basis that he's still alive, would you consider your book, Kill Phil, a failure?
No. No, not really. No, the funny thing is, Phil, I've known Phil forever, and when we were, putting the book together, we didn't have a title for it, but I'd asked Phil, if he'd give me a cover quote. He says, I'll write the introduction. I says, well, that's cool. I can't do better than that. So he agreed to do that. And the funny thing is, we didn't have a title for it. So now we're thinking, it's a book about how to beat the best players in poker. And at the time, there were tons of Phils around, Phil Hellmuth, Phil Gordon, Phil Locke, blah, 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 Phil Ivey, of course. So I was at Anthony's one night with his girlfriend, and we were eating dinner, and I said, what are we going to call this thing? And Jessica said, well, it's about beating the best players. I don't, like all the Phils, why don't we call it Kill Phil? Which was,
That was when the Kill Bill movies was out there, so that sounds like that.
It was right after that, and we looked at each other, and we laughed, and blah, 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 and then I said, wait a minute, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
And actually, and then so that year, it was still in production, and Anthony and I were at the World Series, which was the last year I was at Binion's with the final table, and Phil was down there, and he came up to us, and he said, I want to be on the cover of the book. And we said, no, Phil, you can't be on the cover of the book. It's not your book. And then we talked about it later. Anthony and I said, what? That's not a bad idea either. I mean, it can't hurt to have Phil Hellmuth on the cover of your book. So we did it, and I think that cover of the original book is one of the great book covers of all time. We had, we had Phil on there with a target on his chips. He made sure the target was not him. And then in his introduction, most of the introduction was saying, they're saying kill Phil, but don't really kill me. Just please don't shoot me. And he was all worried about somebody who's actually going to try to kill him. But that obviously hasn't happened, and Phil has survived and done very well. And here we are.
All right. So now this kill Phil strategy, now it's designed to play in Texas Hold'em No Limit tournaments, where for basically beginner players or people who have a life outside of Texas Hold'em, so they can successfully compete against some good players who you call Phil, but actually might be Daniel Negreanu or Gus Hansen or a few other names that aren't exactly Phil.
Well, they're Phil-ish.
Phil-ish. All right.
Yeah, they're Phils. The Phils are the good players.
All right. So now, assuming somebody wanted to start and use this strategy, but eventually wanted to become good, how long would they use the kill Phil strategy before they started studying Doyle Brunson, David Sklansky, and bunches of other authors?
Well, they should probably start immediately. You know, the basic kill Phil is for somebody who just wants to play a no-limit tournament. You know, back in the heyday, I mean, the real heyday, you know, there were all kinds of free rolls and all kinds. Everybody wanted to play, but people didn't want to study. So it was basically the best way for somebody to have a chance in a tournament without trying to learn all the intricacies of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we like to call it the long ball strategy instead of the small ball strategy, which is, you know, getting in there and knowing what the raise was coming in and knowing how to make the little bets and raises and blah, 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 that take a long time to learn. So Kill Phil is, for that purpose, is great. And it gets deeper, and the thing about it is, at the time we wrote it, a lot of even professional players didn't really understand late-game all-in strategies. We call them the push-fold strategies nowadays. That's what kids call them. And so it was kind of illuminating, and there was a lot of things in that book that even the really good players at the time weren't aware of or didn't put into practice. So there's those strategies are still applicable today, although they've adjusted some because people have adjusted to the push-fold strategies. But if you want to be a great poker player, Kill Phil will help you get through the first few tournaments. I like to call it a learning platform where you kind of learn from the top down, where you learn how to move your chips in, you know, in large numbers, and then you learn the strategies as you're going along, and eventually you'll incorporate all that into your overall tournament strategy, which can take years to become proficient and many years become great.
I don't know if Bob told you, but I'm actually what one could consider an end user of your book.
Mm-hmm.
I was down at Huntington Press dropping off a box of my books because Anthony distributes those online for me. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, hey, I just got a free entry into a poker tournament. You know, having to reach into the dark recesses of my mind for the correct pronunciation of the word. And I said, it's like 2 days from now. You got anything I could read? And he says, yes, I have just the book for you. Kill Phil. And he hands it to me. And I was actually driving with my friend. So we were going around town collecting free play, which is what we folks do these days. And I just was reading it in the side of the thing, and I said, we should get some folks, you know, over to the house to play poker. Later that night, we organized a little private poker game, and I implemented some of the strategies in the book, and I won something like 3 to 4 times.
Good.
And I even beat out a guy who had done poker tournaments before twice. I attained a 50% kill ratio against a seasoned veteran poker player after having only read your book 8 hours before it. So
yes, it will do that. I mean, you know, when Lee and I were writing the book, we said, you know, there's basically a flaw in no-limit hold'em tournaments which allows this kind of overbetting to give you, you know, put you on a level footing. So, you know, I don't think it's the best poker game, but it is what it is. It's probably always going to stay no-limit, so let's use it. You know, that door is open there, so let's teach people how to use it. I met a kid a couple of weeks ago. He said, you're Blair Rodden? I said, yeah. He says, I used your book, and as soon as first time I played it, I won 170,000 playing online. So, wow, really? Where's my piece?
Yeah.
But anyway, and he went from there. But yes, it works. There's been a lot of testimonials for people that just using the kill-fold strategy, if you're disciplined and you understand how to implement it, does work.
You just blew my third question, by the way.
I keep asking for 10% when people read my books and hit royals, and the next one who gives it to me will be the first one.
That was going to be my third question, was what kind of testimonials have you gotten from people that have actually used it and implemented it?
Yeah, I've gotten lots of them. It is effective. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, it's not going to make you a winning player, but, you know, in tournaments, it's hard to be a winning player anyway, but it's going to give you an even shot. It's going to, you know, to come into something where people are...
Well, not an even shot, but a fighting chance.
You're going to have a fighting chance.
Yes. You're going to have a... You know, you're going to be competitive, and you're going to have a chance. And what you really do, and the really interesting thing is, that you change the whole table dynamic. If there's a kill foot player at your table who's good at it, it changes everything that they do.
Mm-hmm.
Because, if you want to be aggressive and raise every pot, and every time you raise, or, you feel like every time you raise, somebody's got to move in over the top and you have to fold, it changes the way that you have to implement your strategy.
Okay. You bring up a very good question. What do the pros think of your book? They don't like kill foot players, do they?
No, you really don't. Many of them, But to be honest, I mean, poker has progressed over the past, since the book was, I think it came out in 2005. It's progressed to where the push fold strategies are a big part of people's games, and they understand them now. And the one key thing that they do is they call and more liberally than they did in the old days. So it's not quite as effective.
You're lucky it didn't turn into the kill Rodman strategy.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting. When I was talking to Lee before we put it out, I said, do we really want to put this book out there? I mean, I was kind of worried about it. I thought it would really have a bigger effect than it did, but it did have an effect.
Assuming we're going to get back and so to the day when Americans can play online again, how does kill Phil on online tournaments differ from online in or kill Phil in brick and mortar tournaments?
Well, online players, even when we wrote the book, we had an online strategy because online players tend to call more liberally than they do in live tournaments. And, online tournaments are much different than live tournaments in a lot of aspects. That's one of them. And it's because the kids who are the online players who are very, very good, they understand these push-fold strategies better than most live players. So it's we have a separate strategy in there, and it probably can be tweaked some, but it's still effective.
So, okay, different question. You have a rookie strategy, which it says you can learn in about an hour, and it goes up to an advanced strategy, which is going to take you longer than that. And so I'm assuming the advanced is a lot more effective than the rookie. So it appears like the appropriate strategy is to learn the advanced, but to have a copy of the rookie strategy in your pocket and consult it between hands so that the players are defending against the wrong kill fill player and you're actually using a different strategy than they think you are. Would that be the right way to do it?
Not really.
These are great questions tonight, Bob. He's funnier than usual. I don't know. It must have a spring in his step.
The rookie strategy is very, very basic. I mean, it's too basic. But if you know nothing about poker, you don't know what beats what, then, it's the one thing you can fall back on. But it's very, very basic. The other strategies take into account a lot of different factors, chip stacks, positions, what point of the tournament, and everything. So the rookie strategy, to me, is only for somebody who's going to play one tournament, maybe never play again, has no idea how to play. But we have strategy cards, and this was a really cool idea that Anthony came up. Let's make some strategy cards that people can take with them, like the video poker cards, that give you the strategy. And we have them for the rookie. We have them, it's contained in the one card. You have the rookie, the intermediate, and the advanced strategies. They're right there. So just bring it with you, pull out of your pocket, or keep it on the table. Who cares? And you just, even if they know what the range of hands you're going to push with is, they don't know what you have. So, yeah, but the strategy cards in that case are perfect.
Even if you're no longer using the kill fill, just having that strategy cards will freak out the other players. And they'll defend against the wrong one. This is good.
Yeah.
He does have a point there. There could be some opportunities for, Sun Tzu Art of War misdirection.
Yeah, but, like I said before, I mean, there are parts of the kill-fill strategy, especially late in the tournament, that are still applicable. And, I would play online. I'd pull out my strategy cards. I have it in front of me to give me a guide. I mean, I pretty well know, what to do, but just in case something was close, I'd look at it and just to make sure that I was on the right page.
So I of course, have read your book, and I have implemented it. And, by the way, in that tournament, I had two partners who were seasoned veteran video, poker tournament players, and I got – a little bit further than them. I got to the next round past them, which, of course, could have been luck. But I still felt as though I had a chance, you know, and right. I was very pleased with that. But here's my question to you. If someone has read and mastered basically everything in your book, what do they still not know, and what should they do to learn it?
Well, what they don't know are the small ball strategies, you know, how everybody else teaches how to play the game. If somebody really want to learn poker, I would suggest if you want to get start playing where you can get experience at the table and get a feel for what's going on, start with Kill Phil, then buy Kill Everyone, which my co-author Lee wrote with some computer guys, which is a pretty high-level book. It's a hard book. And then the next one in that series has just come out. It's hot off the presses, called The Razor's Edge, which Lee wrote with Elke, who's the famous French player who's tearing it up, and a couple other guys.
It's also called Kill Elke.
Yeah, well, actually, Kill Phil was changed to Kill Elke when it went to France because they wanted Elke on the cover. So that changed it. But this one's called The Razor's Edge, and it's to read this book will tell you how the modern game is played. It'll tell you how the kids are playing, you know, this completely different game from what I started out playing at No Limit Hold'em, and it's a great book. And there's also another one, you know, that just came out that Anthony published called Decide to Play Great Poker by Annie Duke, which is getting great reviews.
She'll be on our show in 1 month from tonight on the first weekend in August.
I'm sure she'll tell you all about it. And then, of course, there are the other books that were out. Harrington and Hold'em's books were great. And it's actually kind of funny, you know, when Lee and I first started talking about writing this book back in 04, we started, you know, in 04 thinking about it. And we wrote this great outline on all kinds of, you know, the small ball part, just entire outline about poker tournaments. And we were getting ready to start writing it, and I had been keeping up with what's going on. I said, you know what, writing a book's hard. It takes a lot of time.
Yes,
I'm
it
not
is.
That particularly energetic. And if I'm going to write something, I don't want to get lost in the flood of poker books that I knew were ready to hit the presses. Harrington, Barry Greenstein, all this. So I said, Lee, we need to come up with something different that's going to get noticed if we're going to do this. And he agreed, and I, you know, went back, and I said, you know, I thought about this for a long time, that David Sklansky is the first one that came up. He called The System, which was essentially Kill Phil Rookie, which is very, very basic. You know, if you see... I forget what his system was, but it was very basic, but it was effective. I said, we can take this and we can, you know, take it to another level or two and make it really effective. And he agreed, and we wrote it. We had fun writing it. We put a lot of stuff in there beyond just the move all in strategies. We threw in some other tournament strategies. I spent about a week just taking through an entire tournament hand by hand and day by day and how this could actually work. Which was funny at the time. He called me up in the morning and said, you still in? I go, yeah, you know, I lost a hand here and there. But, you know, I was making it all up, but it worked out, and it was a lot of fun. But, yeah, it's, you know, the funny thing about it is it wouldn't work. It doesn't really work in cash games, and it wouldn't work with other types of games, but in No Limit Hold'em tournaments, it still works.
Now, it was designed to be in tournaments where some really good players play, where some fills exist. But there's a lot of local tournaments, like, say, the weekly ones at South Point. South Point has lots of tournaments, as does Orleans, as does a lot of other casinos. And there's no fills who go there. Is it possible that a local tournament is too weak to use the kill-fill strategy on, or can you use it in any no-limit hold'em tournament?
Let me clarify. If you say weak, you know, that's relative to you. How good are you? If it's a weak local tournament, but you're still the worst player there, then yeah, it is. If you have some poker skills and you're better than most of the people, then you're the fill. You know, if the tables are turned and you want to use your other skills to try to win, you don't want to abandon the other edges that you have to continually move in. So yeah, you become the fill, and actually if somebody else is playing, you'd be their target.
But if you're a raw beginner, you'd still use a kill fill even in a $25 entry tournament.
I still think yeah, if you're a raw beginner, absolutely. I think it's the best way, and the reason I do is because it does give you a chance, as we've talked about, but it lets you actually sit at the table and not feel overwhelmed and not feel scared. You know, I mean, that was one of the key things that we stressed in the book, is don't be scared. If you're scared to put your money in, you cannot win at poker. And, you know, err on the side of aggression. If you err on the side of aggression in a poker tournament, you have a chance to win. If you err on the side of caution, you don't. Now, that doesn't extend to cash games, but in tournaments it's very true, because tournaments have a completely different dynamic than cash games.
I certainly wasn't nervous when I was playing in that tournament, but of course it was a free tournament, so.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, if you're getting some, you know, the real Phils and you start moving in, I mean, they get frustrated. It's a, you know, it's a blast. If you do it to Phil Helmuth about four or five times, you'll send him off on one of his rants for sure.
And when he does, you recommend asking him if this is his first tournament? Is that what you said in your book?
I think we did something like that.
That was good. All right.
I'm for all our listeners out there, I'm recommending against that.
Oh, that would be fun, actually.
Well, I'll tell you, there's nothing more fun in poker than to send Phil off on a rant.
We're going to need another legal disclaimer other than the one I wrote for our show. But.
Okay, now, you've played in the World Series of Poker annually for about 30 years. Now, I know you were competing in one event yesterday. I don't know how many events you picked in. I'm assuming you're mostly in the side games rather than the tournaments. The main event started today, day 1A. So I assume you were deciding 1B, 1C, or 1D, and you're going to be in there. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm going to play on Saturday. Just to clarify, I actually quit playing cash games about 10 years ago. The only poker I've played for the last 3 years probably is just the World Series of Poker. I was out on a tournament trail and doing all that stuff, you know, starting in – I actually moved from Vegas to Palm Springs in 2000, and at that point I said, you know what, I'm not around the cash games that I like anymore, so I'm just going to focus on tournaments. And then – lo and behold, the poker explosion happened. So I played the tournament trail pretty heavy from 03 through, you know, 06, 07. Then I got tired of it. I didn't want to trail anymore. I had some good successes, but I just didn't want to do it anymore. And I started getting other things. So I just played the World Series, and I just played tournaments. I might change that next year because it's been a pretty brutal year. I've been in the midst of one of the worst runs, you know, worst runs of luck that I've ever had. And it's completely frustrating. It hasn't been a fun month. And you know how that goes. I mean,
We do know how that goes. Not in poker, but in any gambling game.
I was thinking I was thinking of my love life.
For Blair's problem, there are solutions.
Funny thing is, when you run bad at gambling, it seems like you run bad at everything. Traffic lights, I mean, you know, everything you imagine just goes bad.
As a pro gambler, I've been rather blessed because I've always had lots and lots of partners. So when I have experienced the kinds of runs you're describing, I've still ended up winning at the end of the month because of what my partners were doing. So,
is a very good way to level up variance for sure. I mean, it's, you know, it's a tough thing to take. It's been a miserable month.
Tell you what, though, it's hard to find quality partners. I'm doubly blessed in that respect.
That's the key, and I was very blessed when I first got to this town to meet Anthony and some other very good and honest and, you know, gamblers who I could work with and not have to worry about anything. And that's rare in this town when you find those people you need to hang out
with. That's right, and Stanford Wong, among others. Now, in 2007, you won your bracelet. Now, I'm assuming the drive to win your first bracelet is so much higher than the drive to win your second. Although Helmuth has a drive to win one more all the time. and he almost made it this year. So is that true for you, that the drive to get a bracelet, get the second, is not nearly as high as it was to get the first, or is it not true?
You know, I said after I won it in 07, you know, when Harris took over the World Series, I was very disappointed with a lot of things that were going on. And even in 07, when I won the bracelet, I was stuck inside this little tent that they were using, and they were selling it on closed circuit, and I could only have a couple of my friends in there, and I was really pretty angry. When I got the bracelet, I said, you know what, now I've got one, I'll have to kill myself trying to get another one. And then the next year, I found myself right back there again. I mean, to me, the World Series of Poker is, you know, the poker love of my life. I can't stay away from it. I'm addicted to it. You know, that feeling you get when you get deep in a tournament and have a shot at getting to the final table and have a shot at a bracelet is like nothing else you can experience. If you're a cash player, you know, cash players, to me, it's just a level field of trying to, you know, use your edges to make money over time. But a tournament, you know, you're going to lose most. It's just like video poker. If you don't hit a royal, you're probably going to lose. It's just like in poker. If you don't get to the high spots, you're probably going to lose. It's a very high variance enterprise, but when you get there, it's tremendously exciting. So, yeah, I'm still chasing it, and I don't know how much longer I can do it because it's an incredibly grueling month. You know, if you're on there playing every day and you're playing 12, 14-hour days, day after day, you know, it wears you down when you get older. I mean, even the kids complain. It's hard.
I just want you to know that I've actually gotten tired listening to you describe it.
Yeah, I know.
My back has started hurting, and I think I have a headache.
I mean, people always want to say, how come, you know, the big pros don't win the main event, blah, blah, blah. I'll tell you one reason. It's because they're all so exhausted by the time the main event account, you know, comes around.
Yep.
And you have all these people coming in fresh, and a lot of them are decent players. And they've been resting for the last month or just enjoying their summer. And these guys, we're beaten down to a pulp by all this poker. And now you're getting in there, and it's hard to be 100%. You know, you can sum it up and you can be 95%. But it's hard, and the main event, I mean, 2 years ago I went to the eighth day. It almost killed me. It was the most grueling thing I've about ever done. It was just brutal. It's hard, long days of incredible focus and a lot of stress because you're always on the edge in No Limit Poker and getting knocked out.
You're reminding me of my days of playing marathon tournaments where I had to do a 73-hour shift with no breaks.
Yeah, it's not far different from that.
Blair, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for being on the air. Hope we get you more Kill Phil books. I don't know if you're going to have new editions of it coming out, but if you are, come back and talk to us again.
Okay, let me throw a couple plugs in.
Okay, good.
I do blog. You know, we're trying to build at Las Vegas Advisor. We're trying to build the poker site back up. So at LVA Poker, Las Vegas Advisor. So LVA Poker. I write my blogs there. I think you'll find them interesting. I'm also on Twitter at Blair Rodman. And I'm on Facebook, so, you know, I appreciate if you follow me. I have one quick thing to say, and then I'll let you go.
Go ahead.
You know, I was watching. I couldn't go to sleep last night. I was up watching the ESPN3 telecast of, you know, podcast, internet, whatever, netcast, of the $50,000 horse tournament with Phil Almuth, where he almost won against Brian Rast. And if you want to see the demarcation between old school and new school, that was it. Absolutely. Phil Helmuth, old school. Brian Rast, new school. Brian basically would destroy Phil if they played No Limit Cash Game, you know, day after day. But, Phil, you know, tournaments are different, and Phil understands tournaments, and he almost got there. And then, you know, but it was tremendously exciting. It was tremendously fun. But you can definitely see the difference between the new school of poker and the old school. And I think you can probably still get that telecast. I recommend it to anybody.
Good. Thank you very much.
Oh, yes, pleasure. Thank you. Don't work too hard, and if you get in the mood for doing something else other than live poker, drop me an email. We got some fun parties coming up at the Palms.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Good luck in the tournament. Right, bye-bye.
Yeah, good luck.
Thank you.
Grueling.
It is grueling.
I had no idea that poker was that.
They say it's long periods of boredom punctuated by occasional extremely terrifying moments. And so,
that is so different from what we do, isn't it?
Yeah, we do fairly constant concentration over and over and over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And most No Limit players are throwing in hands, so they're not playing them, although they are still observing the others. And many of their decisions are fairly cut and dried, but every now and then it's not cut and dried at all, and somebody else goes all in, and you have to make a determination for your whole stack on do I call or not, and it's can be terrifying.
That's another very, very good distinction that you just brought up, is in video poker, it's just math. You know, I mean,
it's everything's clear.
I don't typically sit down at a video poker machine if I don't know the strategy. There's no decisions of stressing. You know, the cards come up, you go, oh, that's the correct hold, boom, deal draw. Oh, look, I got the royal. It's
right.
It's not.
In Annie Duke's book, which we're going to talk about in another month, she talks about it's like there's all this incomplete information in poker that you have to deal with. And
yeah.
In video poker, that part is true insofar as how many tickets are in the drawing, or what are the monthly mailers good for this month, or how much can you win before you get caught. So there is some parts of uncertainty, but the play itself is pretty much... You're dealt two pair, you hold two pair.
You know, I have always steered clear of live poker sort of intuitively because I felt that it didn't match with my, you know, modus operandi. After talking to Blair, I'm sure it doesn't match with my standard operating procedure. It just wouldn't mesh well for.
Well, I don't know. There are poker players who talk all the time. It could fit. Let's talk about some commercials.
I'm supposed to talk all the time. I'm a radio show host.
Okay. South Point has more than 10,000 video poker games, returning more than 99%. I recently saw a Terribles ad, and they're bragging about 1,300 games returning more than 98%. That just like 1/8 as many, 1%. It's like, and they're bragging about that? Anyway, I found that curious. Anyway, the 10,000 games at South Point are more than anybody anywhere else in the world. Most of the local players on South Point's mailing list received a postcard a little over a week ago entitling them to $40 a week for 4 weeks. They come in a Friday or a Saturday, download $15. And if you do that the next Monday through Thursday, you get to download an extra $25. And you can download that $25 on the same day that you were going to be there to pick up your monthly free play anyway. So if you haven't signed up at the South Point for a card, you strongly should consider it. It's because they have these kind of things regularly, or they have an email blast. If they send out emails to everybody where they have their address, come in and get $50 or something. And so it probably makes some sense to join in and give them that information and play a few dollars through and take these benefits. It's on the order of several hundred dollars a year in free money of people on their list. If you do collect the free play on these extra gimmies, don't play the minimum. They at least some of the time look for the people who just play the minimum and they don't get the invitations again. So play some more through. How much? I'm not sure, but certainly more than nothing. I play $100 coin in when I'm picking up the $15 free play. I'm playing the NSU, which is 99.7, the slot club count, so it's like over 100%. It's basically 100%.
Theoretically,
even.
You're losing 30 cents.
Oh, no, I'm actually winning because the slot club pays 0.30, so I'm actually, it's a break-even game.
Oh, break-even.
It's break-even, and, sometimes I win, sometimes I lose, but it's a break-even game, and it keeps me company. It keeps me in good standing there. My next classes at the South Point are going to be on Wednesday, starting August 31st. So it's a ways off, and we'll be talking about it between now and then. The new class in that semester is going to be Advanced NSU. So it's going to be talking about the various penalty card situations in that game, of which there are many. So I've never taught that game before. So anyway, that's...
When's that one?
The Advanced NSU is going to be October 12th.
Oh.
But the class is going to start on August 31st.
I should go to that, because I...
I'm sure you'd learn something.
Yeah.
Whether you play NSU enough to make it worth your while is something you'll have to decide for yourself. I don't know. Silverton, they have a brand new seniors drawing on Mondays. The drawings are held at 1 o'clock and 6 o'clock, and each drawing gives 50 winners. It is possible to win both. The winners get a guaranteed $50, and they reach their hand into a barrel and pull out a slip with a multiplier sticker thing on it. And most people get a 1x multiplier, meaning no multiplier at all. They just get the $50 it started with. But some get 2, 3, up to 10x. Last week I was picked twice, and I got a 1x and a 3x. So it added up to $200. I'm not sure how much people are going to play for this. The older drawing, you're only at 10 winners every time they drew, and so some players played a lot every week, and to get into one of those 10, now they're picking 50 at a time, so I'm suspecting players are not going to play that much. We'll see. And they have a daily gas promotion. Any day you earn 500 or more points, which usually means $500 coin in, although it could be up to 2,000 depending on which machines you're playing. You get one pull tab that you get to pull out of a gas can. Usually the prize is $5 in free play. That makes a 1% promotion, although it's $5. And you're not going to drive too far for a $5 promotion. I have done it once and got $10 in Shell gas card. And by that apparently is higher than average. So basically when I'm playing there on a double point day or senior drawing days, I will pick up this in addition. But I'm not going to make special trips for it.
For extra gas, they have the Texas chili in the coffee shop, too.
They do indeed.
And it's with the cheese and onions, of course.
Yeah. Okay, good. The Palms. The Palms has weekly drawings. They regularly have weekly drawings. And they're all the same and they're all different. This particular one is three nights on the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So they normally just have it one or two, but this is three. And so they have 10 winners. And the top three people get to pick money bags. And so it is, they can win up to $4,000. And the remaining seven earn between $500 and $1,000. Last week I told you only could win once per weekend. That was incorrect. You can win one each night of the drawings. There are coupon books, which have come in the mail for most people. So you can play those any Saturday or Sunday, which is going to be, if you play them on Saturday, you can use them two nights of the drawing. If you play them on Sunday, only once, because then at the Sunday night at 8 o'clock, everything expires. Next Tuesday at Sam's Town, my video poker class is called What Video Poker Players Should Know About Slot Clubs. Taught the class several times before, but never at a Boyd property. So we're going to talk a lot more about the Be Connected system than we have before. That's in the Red Rock Room at Sam's Town.
We better do the M report real quick here.
Let's do it.
The bonus poker deluxe on the quarters at the M, Frank and Bob Progressive, right, is 3,018. The super double bonus poker was 2,490, and the deuces wild was 2,415. Those are quarters. The super double bonus poker dollar was 8,104. These are at about 5:30 in the afternoon. The jacks or better was at 79.36, and the joker poker was 72.09. It's been the weekend that these things are really going over the top, because once one gets high, they all get high. Last week, there was a day where something like $5 or $6 over 14,000 hit. In one day, yes. And then Monday, we had seven quarter royals over 4,000. That was the perfect storm so far.
Yeah, and one guy got him dealt. Got dealt royal.
I do have some news on, they are not going to be adding additional games.
They are not?
No, because the software simply will not allow it.
Okay.
What they are considering doing is changing some of the easier games, like possibly the jacks are better, to something that's the same return. So the theoretical return will be identical. The meter rise will be identical. That's not going to change. But they might want to make it something a little harder to play.
Like Sevens Wild
or One-Eye Jacks or something like that.
Uh-huh. And they're doing this because you think it is too easy.
No.
They're doing this because they're not making as much money as
Not quite as much as they would like.
Okay. Well, good. So we actually...
And I think that's fair. I mean, it's a casino. They need to make money.
Good. And it's a wonderful opportunity for the players who take it in. So it's going to study a little bit harder than necessary.
And it'll give you something more to give classes about.
Good. Classes on One-Eyed Jacks. ain't going to happen until it gets on the software. But good. And so I teach classes at Sam's Town and South Point, and neither one of those have the games. And even if they had games, if the ones I would teach would be 99.5% or something, and the ones that are on this machine are going to be 97%.
I could do a strategy for you by hand, and then you could teach it.
Uh-huh.
I think we got about 8 seconds here.
Well, in that case, I recommend everybody goes out and hits lots of royal flushes between now and next week.
All right. We'll see y'all, folks, next
George
week.
Maloof is our guest.
Due to the nature of this show, we would like to offer the following enhanced legal disclaimer. Views and opinions expressed on the previous show, as well as the dress style, mannerisms, social proclivities, and culinary deviations, are those of Bob and Frank, hereafter known as the host, and not those of the staff and management of KLAV, or their families, friends, previous acquaintances, children, children's classmates, or pets, and is far more likely the result of early childhood trauma or eating off lead plates. KLAV would like the listeners of this show to know that the hosts, hereafter known as the listenees, merely lease airtime, making them the larger and lesser leaser listenees, hereafter known as Bob and Frank. Hearing this show establishes a precedent for implied consent, pursuant to all subclauses referenced by the parties in the second part, who shall be considered non-assumpsit and held harmless in perpetual perpetuity by parties in the first part. Parties of the third part are held at the Palms and are open bar. there is a small chance that the janitor's dog, a Chihuahua Great Dane mix named Cerberus, escaped through a hole in the fence and mildly influenced one thing Frank said on air. He has since been put down. For a complete list of the legal ramifications associated with hearing this show, you can find them clearly on display in the bottom of a locked filing cabinet stuck in a disused lavatory with a sign on the door saying, "Beware of the Leopard." Thank you for your time. For an archived version of tonight's show, you can visit ProgressiveVP.com and BobDancer.com. The sponsors for the show are the M, the South Point, the Palms, and Silverton Hotel and Casinos, as well as the website VideoPoker.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next Thursday night at 7 for our next rigidly scheduled period of total spontaneity.
So the guy says the duck quacked me up.
Oh, you and the jokes.
The Jerk Show, Tuesday through Saturday, midnight to 3, on KLAV, AM 1230, The Clock of Las Vegas.
Hi, this is Todd Barton with the Barton Bishop Real Estate Group. Join our team at 11 a.m. every Friday on KLAV for How It Works in Real Estate.
And this is Chris Bishop with the Barton Bishop Real Estate Group. We will be discussing short sales, bank-owned properties, and other hot topics. Discuss with our guests each week.
And I'm Amy with the Barton Bishop Real Estate Group. Join our team every Friday at 11 a.m. on KLAV for How It Works in Real Estate.
Hey, it's Schnitt. Thrilled to be on the air in Las Vegas on KLAV 1230 AM, the talk of Las Vegas. Join me every Monday through Friday from noon to 2 p.m. If you're tired of the same old blah, blah, blah talk radio in Las Vegas, then tune into the Schnitt Show. Las Vegans, if you want to hear a brand new, fresh opinion on conservative political talk, keep the dial locked in on 1230 AM KLAV or listen to me live online at KLAV1230AM.com.
Is your landlord taking advantage of you? Is the bank about to foreclose on your house? Have you been denied unemployment or other government benefits? Has your landlord discriminated against you? Don't give up the fight. Listen to Nevada Legal Services' new program, Legal Services On Air, every Friday afternoon at 4.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
Join us every Friday at 8 p.m. for the paranormal and beyond. 60 minutes of thrills and chills. Prepare yourselves to be taken away into another dimension as hosts Mark Wiley, Michael Knight, and Lindsay Knight investigate the unexplained mysteries of the world. That's the paranormal and beyond every Friday night at 8 only on KLAV.
My name is Kevin Sipes, and I host Energy Saving Solutions every Monday morning at 9 a.m. I am a ResNet Certified HERS Rater, a BPI Building Analyst Professional, as well as a USGBC Lead Green Associate. Join me and our special guests every Monday morning at 9 a.m. on KLAV AM 1230, where we will be discussing topics including energy conservation, building performance, energy independence, and living a greener, more sustainable lifestyle.
Welcome to Conversations with Koji. We're in atmosphere, baby, coming at you with great shows, heartwarming stories from our listeners, and a lot of celebrity guests that's hot on the scene right now. This is one show you all gonna love every Monday, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. We're in the atmosphere, baby. Just hold on and keep the faith.
Hi, Koji. Me and my girls can't wait to hear your voice. This is one show we've been waiting for.
We have a radio set for 3 to 5
for Conversations with Koji. Much love from your biggest fans.
Got a sick pet? Call the vet. Hi, this is Dr. B from the West Flamingo Animal Hospital. Is your pet licking excessively? Has a lump or making a funny noise? Ask a Vet is a new call-in show live every Tuesday evenings at 6 p.m. We'll discuss pet topics, animals in the news, and most importantly, answer your questions live on the air every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Again, this is Dr. B from the West Flamingo Animal Hospital, and I look forward to talking with you soon.
Hi, this is Brad Snyder and Joanna McFarlane, new host of the radio program Our House, the Zip Realty radio show, every Wednesday at 11 a.m.
On this show, we will offer you insider tips on what you should know about the real estate market before you make your next purchase or sale. On Our House, we will talk all things real estate, from finding the right house, what loan is right for you, all the way down to home safety and decorations. We may be in Las Vegas, but when it comes to buying or selling a home, it shouldn't be a gamble.
Have your questions answered here every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on Our House, the Zip Realty radio show.
Hi there, this is Sammy Hagar here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. Now, style's a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody else's business. Please, plan ahead. Designate before you celebrate. Because friends do not let friends drive drunk.
Love us on radio. Like